So we kind of worked backwards to get to this show. This was the show that I was going to show us last week, but as I was researching it, it's this Canadian show called Strange Paradise, which I meant to look up who recommended this. I'm afraid I did not, but someone recommended this in one of our comments. And I was like, oh, this sounds interesting, a Canadian supernatural soap opera. But as I was reading about it, oh, and then it ran for 195 episodes. I was like, wow, that's a lot of episodes. But then, they mentioned Dark Shadows. And I was like, oh, this is based on Dark Shadows. And Dark Shadows ran for 1,200 some episodes. All of a sudden, it makes Strange Paradise look like, we can't talk about this show without watching Dark Shadows. So that's why last week we watched Dark Shadows, which I think our basic impression was it seemed like a pretty cool show. It's just that the Barnabas Collins mania was maybe a little strange, a little hard to put your finger on. But Strange Paradise, yeah, I believe you said last week you've not heard of this one.
Never heard of it.
Which, of course, if it's just the Canadian spin-off type show of Dark Shadows, it's not surprising. Obviously, it had less reach and less knowledge.
Although, you see, we were watching a lot of Canadian shows that other people wouldn't have seen because they had the Canadian content rule in, but I never saw it. Definitely never even heard of it.
For anyone who doesn't know, yeah, CanCon, that's a certain quite high percentage of stuff in Canada needs to be Canadian. And sometimes it kind of works out. Like a lot of music, like I know a lot of bands because they kind of have to play them. They sort of had to play them in Canada to reach the CanCon limit. But it was neat because I knew the Canadian bands, but I still know Guns N' Roses. I still know Green Day. I still know all the American ones. It's just like an extra marbling, like an extra layer. But it gets more annoying with stuff like TV, where it's like a certain number of shows need to be Canadian. And when, yeah, the Canadian content law is still not enough to save your show, that's not a good sign. So we're coming out the gates with Strange Paradise. Presumably it's not going to be wonderful, but I'll tell you what I learned about it. So Strange Paradise is a Canadian occult supernatural soap opera. It ran in 1969 for 195 episodes, which again sounds like a lot, but I guess not for a soap opera. The production was an attempt to capitalize on the phenomenal success of ABC's daytime serial Dark Shadows in America and Canada, as we learned last week, because you had a bunch of siblings that loved Barnabas, loved Barnabas Collins. The series was filmed in Ottawa, Ontario, presenting three separate 13-week story arcs. So this will be one weird thing. I found the first episode and the last episode, so we can just see how it started and how it ended. But we'll be watching the first episode of story arc one and the final episode of story arc three. So these aren't actually going to connect probably very well. But I just thought it'd be neat to see first and last, and since I found them both. Oh, and listen to this. Listen to this freaking summary of the series. The series protagonist is billionaire Jean-Paul Desmond. It's like, do you get a notice? You're going to notice definite Canadianisms here. A tragic character whose absolute refusal to accept the death of his beloved wife, Erica, on the remote Caribbean island of Malajardin. So even in the Caribbean, well, I guess the Caribbean has a bit of French flair, but the evil
Oh, big
garden.
time. Oh, big time French flair. I mean, when you take Haiti, it's mostly French.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But still, that's like an interesting way to backdoor in some Canadian content again, to get some French content in there while still having like voodoo stuff and supernatural. So, he refuses to accept the death of his beloved wife, Erica, on the remote Caribbean island of Maljardin, which leads him to a blasphemous defiance of God. He strikes an ill-fated bargain with the spirit of his sinister ancestor, Jacques Eloy de Monde, which drives the blah, 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 and like it goes on and on. But I did notice for the actor and actress, the main two in this show, they're the only two who have their own entry on Wikipedia. They're famous enough to have an entry. So I'll see if you know either of these people. The male lead is Colin Fox.
No.
Okay. And then again, maybe when you see them, who knows, but not by name. And Cosette Lee is the female lead.
Cosette Lee, no, but with a name like Cosette, she's probably French. French Canadian.
Probably, if I had to guess. And exterior shots of Maljardin Mansion, which even, yeah, it's like the Collins big house.
Maljardin, like bad garden.
Yeah, I think they said somewhere the original name of the series was going to be The Evil Garden. for Marjardin. But the exterior shots of the mansion were filmed at Casa Loma, which is cool because...
Oh, yes, in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the first time I became aware of Casa Loma, it was in like X-Men movies and stuff. A lot of movies, it's a castle. It's the castle in Toronto. But in Scott Pilgrim, there's a scene in Scott Pilgrim where he has a skateboard competition with a guy skating down the steps from Casa Loma. And then when I moved to Toronto, my friend Jason lived two blocks away from there. So I just thought that was cool because every time I'd go visit him, I'd be like, hey, there's Casa Loma. There's where Scott Pilgrim had his skateboard competition. But now maybe I'll see it when I go back to visit and I'll be like, oh, it's Marjardin Mansion, home of billionaire Jean-Paul Desmond, who had a blasphemous defiance of God, etc. And then the only other thing, I don't actually quite know what this means. Almost immediately following the production of Strange Paradise's final episode, the serial was picked up for syndicated reruns in various markets in the U.S. So even after it ended after a year in Canada, they were able to sell it and, you know, play it in the States a bit. Thus, it was the first soap opera to be marketed in reruns. So, I mean, it was the first to do something, but I don't know what marketed in reruns. I don't know what the significance of that is.
Well, they must have been, when it went into syndication, they were rerunning it all over the place. Most soap operas, you couldn't put in rerun because once you see the show, you've seen it, right? There's right. Soap operas are continuing on. I mean, they go on for like 30 years, developing into people's lives and looking into their lives and everything else. But these sound like these are episodic things. Like you said, there were three of them.
Right.
Three 13-section series. So it sounds like there are three series that tell a storyline and possibly have a beginning and an end. Your average soap opera in the United States, it never ends. You know, Days of Our Lives and, oh, I can't think of any others because I never really watched them. Some of those are 50 years old. And they just go on and on, generation after generation. So you can't really put them into reruns because people have already seen them.
Right. Yeah, I think maybe just that article didn't explain that very well. But yeah, that's definitely, you're right. That is what that means. Because yeah, I think of it, for me, it's like wrestling. It's like, you never see a rerun of an old episode of wrestling because you just watch the new one. There's no need. It never stops. It's on episode 1,000, you know? So yeah, I guess the fact that this show wasn't a great success and got canceled, I guess, worked in its favor in that sense. Is yeah, they could sell it to other markets and run it there.
Especially if it's an episodic thing with a beginning and an end. Then, yeah, you could put it in reruns easily. But, yeah, your average soap opera. Even something like Coronation Street, which is the longest running soap opera in the world, I believe, in Britain. Well, it's in Britain, filmed in Britain. But it's been going on since 1961, 62, something like that. And, it will never go into reruns. The most you ever see on it is an anniversary special where they may do a little...
like a retrospective?
Yeah, like looking back, oh, here was character so-and-so, and here's what happened to them. But you don't actually see a rerun of the show itself. And you know what? They'd be so boring to watch anyway, because most soap operas drag. We saw that in a little bit of Dark Shadows. Most of them drag like that, so they would not be really susceptible to reruns, I wouldn't think.
So yeah, that'll be interesting then, because yeah, this show, it seems like, you know, they intended for it to run forever, to be a conventional soap opera with a zillion episodes, but due to its cancellation after only 1 year, it became an inadvertent miniseries. So
it must have been popular, though, for American television to buy it up and run it in syndication.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of these things, like, even reading about its later stuff, it's like they did start putting them out as, like, DVD sets, but they only got through 100 episodes. Like, they got halfway through and they weren't selling enough. So it's like, you know, it's not unpopular, but it's definitely not popular. It's somewhere in the bizarre twilight of just, like, forgotten TV. But yeah, I believe I just got these off YouTube, so if anybody wants to watch along with us, we're going to watch episode 1 and episode 195 of Strange Shadows. Or not Strange Shadows, Strange Paradise. My apologies, Strange Paradise. But I guess we'll see. Like that, and the obvious thing will be to compare it to Dark Shadows. But, you know, I got a little bit of Canadian pride in my heart. Like when we talked about Shorzy a couple weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, now there's a Canadian show. But my initial inclination is the Canadian version of a thing is probably not better. So,
no, I won't comment until we see it, but Some Canadian productions were A1.
I mean, he does have a blasphemous battle with God, apparently. That's something. So I guess we'll see. But all right, Strange Paradise, episode 1.
Raxel, with every resource at my command, for the rest of my days, I will bring my lovely Erica back.
But Mr. Desmond, the process of cryonics is not certain.
Neither is death, Doctor.
Jean-Paul has had it all his life. Sports cars, good books, rare wines, exotic foods, and beautiful women.
I think he thrived on it, frankly.
Yes, until he met Erica. And then all that charm and wealth and adoration was all just for her.
So yeah, it's pretty rare for us to watch soap operas in our little TV exploration, and I think there's a good reason for that. There's just really no good way to approach a soap opera, you know? It's like, I do think we kind of probably did that show a disservice by, we got the first episode where it's like the setup of like, oh, there's evil in the family, evil. Then we jump to the end of like, whew, got rid of that evil, that's good, you know, that's not really a fair approach. But what else were we supposed to do? There was 193 episodes in the middle that I'm sure as shooting not going to watch. So you know, all we get is like a little taste of it. But what was your impression of our little taste of Strange Paradise?
I liked it. I could have seen myself watching all of these if I'd known they existed at the time.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I had a hard time with this one. It's just, it was so serious. It was making me think of like how, like with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, just that the very nature of it is a little silly, you know, that it's the cheerleader named Buffy who fights the vampires, and you got Xander cracking jokes, where this show had zero levity. I don't know if I've ever seen a more serious show in my life. And when every single person acts like every single moment is the most serious thing that ever happened, it just makes, to me, it makes nothing feel like anything. I just couldn't sink my teeth into it.
Yeah, but it's a soap opera formula, and it was very actually similar to Dark Shadows in its production and its seriousness. They didn't have any jokes in theirs either.
I think, though, again, we only watched a little bit of Dark Shadows also, but Dark Shadows was a much slower initial build. You know, they talked about how later on there were parallel universes and all this stuff. But the first one was just, I got this weird job offer in Maine, and I'm going to go to this creepy house, and everything's just a little bit spooky. This show, like, just kicked the doors down. They're talking about the devil and Satan and God within the first minute. And I was like, what are you even talking about? What is the context for this?
I thought that was okay. I mean, they've got the wife that died and was pregnant. So obviously a fetus died too. The man is so distraught. He's going to do whatever it takes to bring his wife back to life. You get the pulsating photograph of the guy that is 300 or 400 years old. And then you get a little flashback there. I mean, that first episode was just loaded with all kinds of good stuff. And then the ending, it was, well, it's hard to jump ahead 195 episodes from beginning to end without knowing what went on. But even in the last show, they gave us a little summary of, there were a couple of murders. And obviously Jean-Paul Desmond believed that he was the murderer, but he wasn't. It was his, the housekeeper who was the evil one and was really the promoter of all that stuff and had been doing it for a couple of hundred years. And I thought it was okay. I'm telling you, if I had to choose, like I said, how I had sisters who were young teenager types who loved Dark Shadows. If I had to choose between the two of them myself, I think I would have gone for Strange Paradise.
Well, I mean, I guess that's I guess it's a good little counterbalance. Of the two, I would definitely watch Dark Shadows. It just felt like, I felt like this was a show that just needed to calm the F down. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just trying so hard to be all edgy about everything that it was just like shut up.
I like the edge. Because especially in the second one that we watched of Dark Shadows, we were waiting for the introduction of Barnabas Collins, who later, of course, made that show, it seems. It took forever for the introduction of him. Mm-hmm. And I was getting rather bored. It was like, oh, come on. We get into that grip. Introduce him. We already know that he's a vampire type. Stop freaking around. But they took the whole show.
I guess so. That's the thing. It's like you got to pick the lesser of two evils in some ways. Where, yeah, I agree. That was the pacing in Dark Shadows was abysmal. It was terrible. But at least it was Like, I liked that it was more mundane. It was a more mundane situation of at least it was just talking about a crypt and building up to this, you know, vampire guy. Where they did a similar thing in Strange Paradise of endless yammering in an extremely stilted way, except this time it's about this random lady is like, I'm actually an eternal ageless being from the below depths. And then this other just random old man is like, I myself am a spirit who has come down to help. And it's like, no, you're effing not.
Well, the other thing I can say, if you think about the standard soap opera like General Hospital and Days of Our Lives and all those things that most people would have been watching in daytime soap opera, which are just people's lives and the unfolding of their lives and the typical soap opera formula that would take forever and ever for anything to happen. And finally, at the end of the show, there'd be some little hook to catch you so that you'd watch it the next day. Both of these shows had the same formula, but they moved at a much better pace. And if I had to watch supernatural type stuff in the afternoon, man, I would have taken the Dark Shadows and this one, Strange Paradise, over those other shows anytime. But of course, the big popular soap operas of the day were not these. They were the ones that were the lives of people. Days of Our Lives. I mean, General Hospital.
I guess the ideal thing would be then you come home from school, the double feature. If, you know, Dark Shadows was on and then Strange Paradise was on after, watch them both in a 1-2 punch. Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I loved it.
And apparently they did retool the show midway through just to have it not be set in Haiti anymore, because that is one thing I found a little funny. Like we were talking about with Shorzy, what a good job they did making it a multicultural show. It has native characters, it has French characters, it has black characters, it has white characters, and it all felt very natural. This was the opposite of that. They're in Haiti. They're talking about, oh, your voodoo beliefs, and it's the whitest lady I've ever seen in my life. And then they're at a cabaret, and the lady singing is, again, white and blonde. And it's like, this is Ottawa. This is not Haiti.
Even the waitress going around, they were wearing the little flouncy type dresses off the shoulder, bright yellow, which would be very common in those Caribbean countries. But the people wearing them are not black.
Yeah.
Or even tanned. They're quite white.
And I mean, I don't know, maybe I don't know the demographics of Ottawa. Maybe you would have had to go to Toronto. But in 1969, there was an enormous population of black people in Toronto. There's not like they don't exist in Canada. There was no need for everyone to be white in this show. So maybe that's partially why they moved it to Canada for the second half.
Even if they had put on brown makeup.
Oh, no, you can't do that. That's worse. You can't do that. I respect the pitch, but no, that wouldn't have worked. However, this is the other thing I think maybe why I had a very hard time taking this show seriously is because a mere year and a half, 2 years later, another Canadian production also filmed, this one filmed in Hamilton, but still in Ontario, not too far away, same era, same type of cameras, same film quality, same everything came out. And I couldn't stop thinking about this the whole time we watched that show, is how much it looks like the hilarious House of Frightenstein.
Igor! You never fool a count. Where were you? You are late again.
I'm sorry, master, but I was outside trying to drown a fish in the moat.
Trying to drown it? Oh, we've no time to discuss that now.
For now. What about my raincoat, master? You promised me a new raincoat. 800 years old.
You interrupt the count.
The tombs and the Igor guy and the skull. And like, doesn't this look exactly the same?
They probably used the same set.
Yeah, I'm sure that maybe they did. And yeah, and I just, the whole time I was like, man, this looks and feels exactly like Hilarious House of Frightenstein. Except Hilarious House of Frightenstein is telling corny jokes and goofing around. And yeah, Strange Paradise, goddamn. Again, I literally cannot think of a more serious show I've ever seen in my whole life. I've seen, you know, Holocaust shows less serious than that. So, yeah, I find that a little tough, a little bit much.
Well, I guess you wouldn't give it a big thumbs up then.
But also, just to finish off real quick, I guess I should clarify, because in my mind, in my memory, this show had been recommended to us. So I just thought I'll clear this up real quick, I found the comment from 9 months ago, a guy named Brian, who was talking about The Star Lost, which was a very, very poor Canadian television production that we watched. And he mentioned that the budget was so low for The Star Lost that it didn't have its own mood music. The Arthur Rubinstein score for The Star Lost was repurposed from an earlier Canadian production, a supernatural soap opera called Strange Paradise. And then I responded, I've never heard of Strange Paradise. I'm going to add that to our list of shows to watch. So it's my own fault. He didn't tell us to watch Strange Paradise. He just mentioned that that it existed. And I was like, I never heard of it. Sounds fascinating. So that's why. That's why we're here today.
Well, I thought it was okay. And again, I put it in that time and that place, what was going on in 1969. 68, 69, I think, is when you said it was,
yeah,
it was out there. And I'm comparing it to soap operas of the day. And as I said, I'd rather watch one of those, either that or Dark Shadows, as opposed to your standard soap opera that everybody else was watching in early afternoon television. I'm sorry I missed it in that time frame.
So now we have the two paths in the woods, where next week we can either just move on to something completely different, or they did a remake of Dark Shadows in 1991. As like a TV movie style, and I did find it. So do you want to watch 1991 Dark Shadows, or should we just get rid of all this and move on to something else?
Let's do one more little tie, because that was the problem with what we watched on Dark Shadows. We watched first, and then we jumped somewhere deep into the middle, and there was lots of stuff, obviously, that happened from episode one to episode whatever we watched.
I do think the 90s one, I think it's like a six-part series or something, so we still won't be seeing the whole thing. But yeah, the 2012 movie, we watched the trailer for that, and it looked god-awful. So let's go in the middle, see how the 90s treated Dark Shadows. And yeah, like at the very least, I'm sure it'll be, well, I don't know, I guess we'll see. I was going to say, I'm sure it'll be a little less self-serious, but maybe not. I don't know, maybe this is just the soap opera way. I guess we'll see. Tune in next week.
Tune in.
This is what I like about doing this. Whether, because, you know, it's sort of irrelevant how much I like the show or not. Like, who cares? But it's just fun to learn about this stuff. That I'd never heard of Strange Paradise. I hardly knew what Dark Shadows was. And now I do. Now I'm knowing. Now I'm learning.
I'm just surprised I never heard of Strange Paradise.
Yeah, it really was.
That really threw me. I mean, I could have seen me knowing more about it than Dark Shadows, but...
Yeah, it's the definition of lost TV.